This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Gather round, another episode of This Life with Dr. Drew and Bob Forrest. Here we are.
Thank Douglas Pinsky for that little intro music. We forgot to mention that. Great.
Can he do that in his bedroom?
Yeah, he does it on a computer.
It's amazing what can get done with a computer and a keyboard.
The great Tom Arnold. Speaking of amazing, the show is The Viceland Show. Hashtag The Hunt for the Trump Tapes. We're going to show a trailer a little later. At Tom Arnold. Instagram, The Tom Arnold. Tom, good to see you.
Good to see you, buddy.
Great job on Stern.
Oh, well, yeah. Just let it, you know.
Let it go.
You know, just go. You go when you're on that show.
That's absolutely true.
For an hour. You got to entertain the man and just let it go. And then people talk about how insane you are when you leave there. But, you know, you're in there with him. You're like, I just got to entertain him for an hour.
It is. You do
here,
feel...
you don't care.
No.
Because you're like, it's you and Bob.
I know.
Whatever.
Who gives
let
a shit?
Let it go. Yeah. Let it go.
So, Bob, we ran right to our microphones because you said you had something to say.
Okay, so.
First of all, this show, the name of the show sounds like I'm on NPR.
This Life.
Yeah.
This Life like
with
that.
Bob.
Lisa Lang.
Yeah.
So you and I have a bond going back to the 80s, my friend.
Yes, we do.
So, and last time we spoke, we were big, like, you know, can't believe what's going on. This is unbelievable. I now don't think it's as unbelievable as I thought. I think that's a year ago.
Right.
I think it's perfect.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And we're referring to Trump.
Right.
Well, Sam Harris did a little thought experiment where a guy was telling him, talking to him, said, imagine what it would have been like if it hadn't happened. Were all that discontent, where would that have gone? Because he's the embodiment of all the discontent, right?
Well, Hillary would have been killing.
Yeah.
It would have still been there, but it wouldn't have been so targeted, and it wouldn't have raised up all this stuff, you know, this festered up, this infection, this MRSA, that all is. So it's actually good. We owe Trump because it showed itself, right?
It showed us something. Here's what I think. It showed us something about our brothers and sisters, Tom.
True.
You and I being of the liberal brigade.
Yes.
I saw hatred that I didn't expect from some of my closest friends.
Right.
And there was no talking to them.
This
is just politics. This is just gross.
Right.
So my evolution of thought has been right message, wrong messenger.
Right.
Right.
But then Ryan Holiday wrote the book, The Conspiracy Book, and he's a Stoic philosopher, and he said, look, he goes, you know, I think he wrote a book called Trust Me, I'm Lying, where he talked about how the social media is such BS and how people can say anything and then that becomes news. And he said, we've been doing that to each other for so much now. He goes, it's natural that a resistant strain of bacteria would come up.
Right.
And he's like that resistant strain. You can't do anything to affect
it. John Kennedy O'Toole wrote a book called Confederacy of Dunces, which is about these people. Well, here's the thing. You know, the beauty is karma. Trump got elected president. He based his whole candidacy on a lie that the first
look right to your
black,
right.
Oh, there you go. The first black president. He made him, this private citizen, made the first black president show his birth certificate.
Oh, yeah.
What that actually is a pretty big accomplishment for Donald Trump. Maybe his biggest. So if he could do that, then me, Tom Arnold, can take him down. I mean, really. Well, if he could become president,
the egalitarianism of that.
Absolutely.
Right.
But describe why that particular thing was so bothersome to you.
Well, here's why it was bothersome. In 2008, a guy named Davis Guggenheim makes this probably 10-minute little mini doc for the Democratic Convention. And it's basically Barack Obama's life. And you know how they make these documentaries about every candidate. And I'm watching this thing. And Barack Obama grew up in a small town in Kansas, not unlike Ottumwa, Iowa, where I grew up. And Barack Obama had from a single parent family, in a farming community, and his grandfather look like my grandfather. And right. I'm from a single parent family in a farming community. And if you're from a single parent family in a farming community, if there's something odd about your family, I didn't have a mother and he didn't have a father. And by the way, he was also a black kid.
Yeah.
He didn't mention, he doesn't talk about that in his documentary a lot, but there's a scene in there where he's on his grandfather's shoulders and they're at the Kennedy Space Center. They're watching a capsule come down and he's talking about how great it was to be on his grandfather's shoulders. And it's so touching to me because I spent a long time with my grandpa.
Yeah,
and I just it was very emotional for me, and I thought to myself later when all of a sudden I saw Donald Trump, a man I know for 30 years, on TV saying that Barack Obama was not born, he was an illegitimate president, and I thought, that is such BS. Barack Obama's grandfather wasn't alive to grab him by the collar and say, "Hey, that's my kid."
Yeah.
Shut up. And I thought how outrageous it was. And that I immediately picked up the phone and called NBC and called Mark Burnett and said, what are you going to do about this guy? That is outrageous.
Right.
What are you going to do, Chuck LaBella? Why isn't everybody standing up and doing something about that? Is because his grandpa isn't alive to defend him. You know, where's his mother isn't alive. Why isn't everybody up in arms? And that was the moment that things changed for me because I thought about my grandpa. Believe me, if you're from a small town and you're having an unusual family, like not without a mother, or you're a black kid without a father. Yeah. Your grandpa's had to defend you a lot of times, grandpa did. So that was the bond I had for his grandpa.
Yeah.
That's who I was standing up for.
But you've known Trump 30 years. He doesn't care about grandpas. He doesn't care about the stuff that we care about. He cares about himself.
But I cared about Barack Obama's grandpa. That's who I'm standing up for. That guy.
Right. I get it.
I'm representing
him. So here's the thing. When you gave us that interview saying that there is this video that exists that now your show is about, I was kind of mad at you. I didn't say because I love you and I respect you. I was like, why didn't you fucking release that video? I didn't know that you didn't have it.
Right.
That you had only seen it.
I'd seen it, yes, before.
Right? I think it could have stopped Trump.
No.
If you had the pussy grab and that video that you're talking about in October, I don't think Trump gets elected. But now I don't think it matters what comes out.
He could
actually shoot somebody on Park Avenue and nothing would happen.
No, here's the thing, too. All right, the video I had seen, and here's how it came out. You know, it's in October of 2016, and I'm doing an interview talking about doing my stand-up show I had in Seattle. And I was so frustrated because the pussy grab had come out, and yet it's so, oh my God, they're just running, mowing over it, and he's still going to win. And I just, out of frustration, say, you know, I can't, it's outrageous. I've seen this video, which a lot of people have seen before, and he says this. And by the way, it wasn't a hard N-word. It was a sort of a matter of fact, we're going up to, and I described the restaurant. It's a matter of fact who he said it to. Now, the irony is, since then, I have interviewed the person with him. I've interviewed people that were with it, visit him on this set of The Apprentice, and I have gone back and rebuilt the crew of the Apprentice on my show. Listen, I'm going to rebuild the whole, not only that tape, but there are other tapes.
Who's going to play Donald Trump?
No. We are rebuilding. There's other tapes that are far worse.
Are you friendly with Alec Baldwin?
Oh, I am probably without Baldwin. I've heard from Alec Baldwin yesterday. I've heard from a lot of people, and a lot of people want to help. There are so many worse things that he did.
Let's pull out of that for a second. Yeah. I understand. It's very exciting.
And by the way, there's a tip line at viceland.com/, how do you do that?
Slash.
TIPS. Send me all of your tapes. We've had so many people coming forward.
What is that? What are you pointing at?
You're playing on the trailer.
Let's play the trailer. It's on the trailer.
Here we go.
Donald Trump saying, quote unquote, grab them by the pussy.
We're talking about 16-year-old girls in their underwear here, okay?
Spewing racial slurs on the set of Celebrity Apprentice.
President Trump denies any involvement with prostitutes.
Don't worry. Tom Arnold is on it. And I'm Tom Arnold.
No, where's the tip line?
So let's go back to our grandfathers, though. Let's go back to our grandfathers.
Yes.
I was raised by my grandfather also.
Yeah.
He legally adopted me.
Oh, that's right.
So
I want to tell him
so,
why.
because his daughter had me.
yeah, there you go.
But, you know.
Yeah.
So if you put my dad, I consider him my dad, grandfather, in a 21st century context, he is racist.
Yes.
He is misogynist.
Yes.
He is homophobic.
Yes.
He was a great dad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? America's not ready for the grayness of life, I don't think.
Right.
They like cartoons. They like black and white.
Right.
They like this. We've got to evolve to understanding context.
Right.
That my dad was a product of the Depression and he used...
But we've decided that's not a defense.
Right. Right. But you have to understand, my grandfather, too, and you're right, but my grandfather was also one of the first people. He was a medic of the 42nd Rainbow Division, mm-hmm. and he was one of the first people that entered Dachau to liberate Dachau. He was of that generation. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama's grandfather was in World War II. He was one of the people that helped liberate Germany, that helped free, you know, he's from that generation. So when you talk about these people that are Trump fans, they're fucking... They're yahoos.
Yeah,
that, you know. They tell me what you're doing that gives you, you know, the it's like this. You know, if you're complaining about inner city Chicago, tell me that you have been there, that you have volunteered, that you have mentored a young black
mostly
lady.
They're complaining there's no coal jobs in West Virginia. I got news for them. There's no coal jobs for anybody anymore.
No.
And no politician has the guts to tell them, especially.
Right. And that's the thing about him.
Right?
Trump, it's okay if you lie if you're on a reality show. And you know what? Mark Burnett, I got to say Mark Burnett, and I know this from rehab. He made a Jesus miniseries that's stellar. And if you're in rehab, you will watch that every other night, okay? But he also made The Apprentice. And that's the same thing he did with Jesus, he's doing with Donald Trump. And it sells. And you're like, oh my gosh, look at this. Now, I don't know which one is more accurate, but that's what he sold to America. So a lot of people in the South and in Iowa, that's how they got to know Donald Trump. They're like, oh, I know him from The Apprentice. People in New York know it's bullshit. They're like, that's not, we don't, they never watch the show because they know who Donald Trump is. But people and I were like, oh my God, he's a guy from The Apprentice.
Do they not have used car lots in Iowa?
They
so
do,
the
but he's the king. He's the king of the.
He's just another used car salesman.
No, but people, listen, I grew up with nobody. We love people with nobody. We worship rich people. We, you know, we have a certain, you know, that's the rich people in our town. We're like, oh my God, they are better than us. That's just how we feel. The people that own the meatpacking plant, we look up. That's just how it is. They are just a little better than us.
Still?
And Donald Trump, no. So after we went on a strike at Hornbill, they fired us all. We tried to burn their house down. But anyway, but we at least peed on their toothbrushes. But. You know, but you know, you do look like
when you see Smokey the guitar player. Do you have a fond spot? You know,
because
Tom Waits' guitar player is Smokey Hornbell, the heir to.
Yeah, let me tell you. Well, the Beach Channing from the suburbs. His wife is one of the McMillans who owns Cargill. They're very nice people. If you know,
so Tom's
the
risen up
from Minneapolis.
Tom has risen up.
No,
to
not
forgive
Beach.
The rich.
Oh my God, not Beach. Okay, I'm getting all my names wrong. Okay, let's see. Let me go back. Anyway, let me go back. First of all, shout out to the Suburbs, one of the greatest bands who ever.
Nate, he's looking at you.
In the
baby.
History of music, period.
The Suburbs.
Suburbs.
Yeah, it's called
the
band.
Love is the Law, one of the
look
greatest songs. Beach.
It is beautiful.
Yes. I don't even want to get okay, anyway, let's just leave that there. And there is a Cargill connection.
So, but I don't. What I was trying to make a point. I don't think it's only people in New York or L.A. that were hip to like. I don't know if this guy's a billionaire. I don't know if this guy. What his message is what resonated, not him.
Right.
I believe that.
But here's the problem.
That now.
Here's the problem. Here's why I'm going full out, and people are like, Tom. Be good to our president. And I'm like, F you. Because he's on stage at the NRA convention lying, scaring people. And as a person that spent a year in trauma therapy, that is not okay. His lies are such lies. They are such 17-year-old boy in their mother's basement lies. Like, hey, they're trying to, the next thing you know, they're going to make vans illegal because people are hitting people with vans. And they're just insane lies. And they are are literally costing people their lives. That's the problem with his lie.
They are costing people their lives.
Yeah. And then I hear, and then people are like, talking about my ex-wife, Roseanne, who has a TV show. Let her have her TV show. Well, no, she can have her TV show. It's a huge hit. But more power to her. But she's also part of this Trump insanity, where she thinks Trump's working with Robert Mueller to arrest Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and put him in Guantanamo Bay. And everything he does is amazing because he's never done a fat joke about her. She'll say that.
Is that why you're not on the show?
Oh, my God. I am scared shitless of her. I did her roast, and I was scared to death.
You guys got along at that roast.
Yes,
though.
I thought we were buddies. So when the show came up, I'm like, hey,
I knew you guys together, and I think you both believe in the same things on a certain level. She just clicked with this message of this guy. What he presented is, we're going to wipe the slate clean.
No, she's full on. No, she is.
I know. So is some other friends of ours that I don't want to name that believe in vapor trails and fluoride in the water.
Oh, yes.
That's a lot of our friends became like that. But the reason why Trump resonates is this message of burn it all down.
No, but you have to have a little bit of critical thinking. You got to see some, there's got to be, you can't, but I'll tell you what, you show what everything he does, especially if you're a comic. Yeah, you got to be like Stormy Daniels kicked Roseanne's ass comically this week on Twitter because she can't let, you know, if it's a comic, you can always see the little, you can read between the lines.
But she's not a politician. She's getting caught up in politics.
No, but she started making fun of Stormy Daniels about anal sex. Stormy Daniels, she goes, well, you know, Stormy Daniels is known for anal sex. She goes, well, I guess you're known for the frickin' national anthem or whatever. Stormy Daniels just slapped. You know, Roseanne used to be one of the funniest people on the planet.
Why are you not on that show?
Oh my God!
You're missed.
I'll tell you what. Can you imagine how much you would have to go to the crapper before she called me and asked me? It'd be like a roast. Like nobody did the roast. She called me the last day.
I disagree. I think it would be. I think it'll be a huge deal if you.
Can
go
you
on
imagine
the show.
How nervous I would be?
Yes,
good Lord,
Bob and I will have to be there.
You would have to be there.
No, but let's just go back. Here's something of our circle of friends in the late '80s, early '90s.
Yes.
A lot of them believe fluoride drew. I'm telling you. And Nate and I know, like, they believe these crazy things.
Well, it's that QAnon.
These are not dumb people.
Everything adds up. Like, you have to believe in so many conspiracies to think everything Trump does is genius. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, look at him again.
What are you going to do when he wins the Nobel Peace Prize?
I hope he does. I hope he wins Obama's. I hope they have to give it to him. If they take the nukes out of North Korea. Trump is so D-list his enemies. I'm D-list and I'm his enemy. Like everybody around this guy that's why I have no fear about it. Everybody's like, oh my God, are you fearful that he's going to have you murdered? No, because he's so obvious.
He doesn't care.
His crimes are obvious. His everything.
He's definitely one who believes that old adage that no press is bad press.
Oh, for sure.
Well, no,
for
he's the only, in all of his people around him, he's the only totally authentic person. He hasn't changed a bit from the guy I met 30 years ago.
Well, were you his friend at one time?
Well, we were friendly. I did an HBO special. Roseanne and I, in 1990, I did business with him at Trump Castle.
And how did you find him then?
He's like, you know, fantastic. First of all.
No, but what did you think? What did you, Tom Arnold, feel about
he's
him?
Always well, he was been Donald Trump.
He's like, you know what would be fantastic? If I had a friend, he's got a Dusseldorf. I will drive Roseanne out of the stage. He'll donate that Dusseldorf. And he wasn't going to be in a special. He's like, I will drive her out on the stage. And anyway, so that now he's in the special. I'm like, well, that's great. He drives her out, and then he'll donate it. And then I end up having to pay a guy to haul this Dusseldorf in from New Jersey. And then, you know, HBO's like, oh, my God, we had to deal with him in a contract. But we had to, anyway, everything's fine. And then he did my sports show a bunch. I went to the Playboy Mansion with him to visit his girlfriend, Karen. This Karen McDougal, the Playmate.
Yeah.
I started tweeting about that 9 months ago, and Stormy Daniels and their lawyer way before they was public. I'm like, dude, here's the deal with these payoffs and this money. And people are like, yeah, we can't print that, Tom.
What's the deal with it? What is the deal?
Exactly what the deal is. Exactly.
They just pay people off.
Real.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's an old school. He's just like his dad, probably.
Yeah,
right?
And by the way, the White House is like, yeah, Tom Arnold is crazy. He is a liar. It's all true. Everything I've said about him is true.
Well,
and there's
more.
Michael Cohen sued me with Trump, and he's like, Tom Arnold is crazy. He sued asked Marty Singer, my lawyer. He's like, you got to quit saying this stuff
about Michael Cohen sued you?
Yes, he did.
For what?
For saying
hurting
that.
His, hurting his know. Friend's feelings.
Yes. And then Marty Singer's like, you got to quit saying this. And I go, it's true. And then it turns out it is true. And then they had to.
This is the payout part.
Yeah. By the way, last week, who can I talk? Yeah, can I put it on Twitter? Felix Sater. I went to Felix Sater's house. That's Trump's Russia Tower buddy. Yeah. I spent the day with him. Michael Cohen and I were rooms next door to each other at the Regency in New York. That's all I'm going to say. And then Felix Sater met with Rudy Giuliani last Friday after I met with him at Trump. Anyway, these guys are all buddies. So watch my show.
I'm going to watch it. When do we
get
to
watch
it?
By the way, Michael Cohen is not... He's saving his family. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Yeah, he's
in it. It's all working out well.
For whom?
For me, for my show.
For you.
By the way, Michael Cohen's buddies with Tish. That's okay. I'm buddies with. We're all buddies.
What does your buddy Arnold think about all this?
Well, by the way, he used to be like, you know, you got to be easy on Trump. And then Trump effed him over.
Yeah.
And he's like, Trump. Anyway, Arnold's hilarious about it now because he's doing the gerrymandering thing and the environment because that Trump buddy is messing up the environment. That
Pruitt.
By the way, how crazy is Scott Pruitt? He is the, by the way, he's got all kinds of secrets.
I
want to
give you one of the hats I made. It says "Make the Swamp Great Again" in the red and the white.
Oh, I love that. But by the way, speaking of hats, how big is Scott Pruitt's head? Like, it is unusually. He's got a whole bunch of stuff.
But most people look at that and go, "Oh, it's politicians. They're all like that." If we started digging, oh, into they every are they, one of them.
Yeah, they're there's
you know. So that's the sort of world we're in. I think that's why it's so insulated from consequence.
Yeah.
When all this stuff starts emerging, everyone just goes, "Yeah, we knew it."
Yeah, but he's got the worst hitters.
No, but I think they think to themselves, they go, that's why we threw this TNT and this murder weapon we call Donald Trump. We threw him in because this is where all the politics are.
Well, here's the thing. Everything he does, see, the Koch brothers are these two brothers. One of them has Alzheimer's, so he's not totally involved.
No, there's more than, yeah. there's a great Koch brother that you might know. He's a great guy.
He's not involved with the two Charles. He's not one of the.
But they always get called the Koch brothers, and there's actually
There's a nephew that does pants. It's hilarious. You watch him on the internet. But there's two. Anyway, Charles and whatever are the guys. Anyway, before Trump took office, they had his whole game plan typed up for him. All this tax stuff, all this other stuff. They're like, just do what we tell you to do. They got a guy named Mark Short that's in the White House right now. He's a bald guy. He looks like he's from the future. He seems pretty loose. When he's on TV, he's like, yes, Donald Trump is. He seems like he's, you know, like he's from Scientology, like he's got it together. But he's from the Koch brothers. He's the guy that keeps all the policy stuff together.
Moving forward.
But they are losing their mind because Trump is so crazy with
he
their
steps
stuff.
All over it.
Yeah. So the NRA and the Koch brothers are getting their stuff pushed through him, but he's actually hurting them because he's so crazy.
Right. How many episodes you got?
We got eight. Eight on
and
the
when
air.
And when does it start?
They're on now?
We're shooting now, and we
when
start September,
air?
First week of September through the
midterms. Oh, I can't wait that long.
Well, we're going to start putting stuff out, you know.
Okay, good.
You guys.
Dude,
anyway,
this is man meets moment. Tom Arnold has met the moment of the Trump era.
Guys, thanks, guys.
Are you okay? You good?
I'm good. By the way, I'm great.
Okay, good. Last time we met, we had an interesting conversation.
Yes,
we were face to face with you. He was.
But
But Tom started with one of these. I got a friend. What would my friend do?
Oh, no. I was on my podcast. I was like, yeah, my friend's having trouble getting off of benzos. And what do you do about that? And he's like, well, that's a tough. And it was me. I was talking about me. But no, I went to, that was a year ago. I went down to Crossroads. And I did that. I've been in trauma therapy for a year, too, by the way. Hi. My son turned 4. And it was the same age as me when.
Oh, dude! I told you. Raped. What did
yes,
I tell you?
I know you told Dr. Drew. Told me. I also give you credit, by the way, in case you didn't notice.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I did it, and I highly recommend it to anybody out there. You know, if you know my story, you know that when I got sober the first time, I found a pedophile that from my past and confronted him in an appropriate way and stopped him from adopting boys, and then 30 other kids came forward, and it's a well-known story. And then as Dr. Drew warned me, hey, Tom, you know, when you're, you know, when my son was first born, it did something, he's beautiful, and it's, you know, perfect and everything, but it did occur to me, in the back of my mind, I think when something terrible habits to you. It's always easier if it could be your fault. All of us are like this. And it did occur to me, like, oh, my gosh, because I was thinking, oh, maybe I was a bad kid. Maybe, you know,
I deserved
even
it.
Though I'd worked it through, yeah. It's still in the back of my mind. Well, maybe I was a bad kid.
Well, my version of it was I liked it. I kept going back over there because I liked
it. Yeah, yeah. Right? Well, I knew. I never.
Because the idea is, why do you keep going back over there?
Right. Well, I got a free candy bar. But anyway, I don't know. And it was a big one. But anyway. But it did occur. When I saw my son, I'm like, oh, my God. No, I was perfect like him. Like, that's a scary thought. Like, oh no. And then as he got older, I was like, oh my God, I was that small. Oh my God, people are horrible. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And then it started, and out of the blue, I had lunch with Drew, and he's like, you know, you should be aware Jax is going to be, you know, we're just talking about family and kids, and boy, when he turns four, that's going to, I'll probably hit you. You might have some issues. I'm like, no, it's fine. Anyway, it hit me like a freaking ton. And I started, you know, take something like, oh, I'd had trouble sleeping. Better take these benzos. You know, better take more night. And it just became a bad issue.
Tom has this thing, too, where every relationship ended at 4 years.
My mother left when I was four, and literally every marriage except for Ashley.
So four was like a major deal.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Major deal.
Yeah, that's
what happened when you were 4 years sober the first time. That's usually a tough time, too, 4 to 5 years.
I made it through. Oh, I got divorced. No, what happened the first time? I did get divorced.
When did you get sober? I got sober
right before I got married.
In 88, what year is that? What year did you get sober?
In 90.
Okay.
Before I got married.
I had relapsed and got sober again when I was over at your house at that meeting.
In December 10th, 89 was when I first got sober.
Right. Then the funniest thing, we're huge Kiss fans, right?
Oh, my God. That's great.
And Timmons hears that the Peter Criss from Kiss is living under the Venice boardwalk.
Yeah, yeah.
And so all of us are like, Kiss, what the fuck? That dude needs to get help. And so Timmons and Tom go and get the guy.
I went first by myself and got the
Did
guy.
Did Timmons hear but about it first or you?
I went on my own to impress everybody. And then I called Timmons. I go, hey, I got...
It wasn't.
I went and did it on my own to tell you guys, to tell everybody and brag. And I had it in a hotel.
Oh, you were going to be the new Bob Timmons.
Yes. Now, that's not, it's a real story. I took this fucking dude. I had to fight people because he had fans down there and fight these other homeless people. And I get him in a motel on Ocean. And then Bob goes with me to take him to a meeting. I put it in the back of my car. Like, he just was homeless.
He looked exactly like Peter Criss.
He did. I started taking him to meetings, and then his ex-girlfriend called me and goes, my God, I want to fly to Boston to save his life. I go, no, I got to keep him alive for another 24 hours to get him in rehab and get credit. And Bob and Dallas are like, this is amazing what you're doing for this guy. And I go, I was bringing him around, and then all of a sudden he disappeared because this woman somehow got a hold of him because I was telling everybody I'm saving Peter Criss's life. And she ends up on a plane to Boston because I let him talk to her, and then it turns out the real Peter Criss, somehow I talked so much about it, it was on TV.
He was on TV.
Part. Bob Tim was like, don't tell everybody. I go, well, I saved his life. It was on TV, and the real Peter Criss saw it. He's like, and he was sober. He's like, oh, my God, I'm suing you. I'm like, oh, shit, this is not even Peter Criss, and I'm telling you. And Bob Tim was like, do not tell everybody. Oh, my God. Anyway, I got sued. And then I got arrested because I'd kidnapped the first guy. And now he's in Boston. And then Tim is like, Steven Tyler sober because he's in Boston, the random guy.
So Tyler helped the Kiss guy.
God damn it. So now Tyler, who I love, just saw him, has to go, because he's a good dude, he has to go save the random guy's life and take him to rehab. Oh, my God. What a screwed up mess.
You got arrested for kidnapping?
I did. So Marty Singer, I go down to Santa Monica Police Department, and the cops are so mad, kidnapping, assaulting all the other homeless guys because I had to.
It was the guy from Kiss, Drew. We had to save him.
Yes. Yeah, so
were you guys all high at the time?
No. We were sober. It was my first. I went on my own to tell her. Let me just say this. So then
his first 12-step call. Well, Tom Arnold's first 12-step call.
It was a little early. Let me just say, let's say this real quick. So anyway, I'm down there. It's me, Marty Singer. The cops are so bad. They're like, you are an idiot. And this detective comes in the room. He's like this. So he has the two cops go out. I still know these cops are. He's like, let me get it straight. You went down there by yourself to save this guy's life. I mean, you screwed everything up, but you did this. I go, yeah. And he goes, I'll tell you what, you do it one more time, we'll consider dropping these charges. I go, I'll do anything.
Do it one more time?
Yeah. He goes, here's the address. It was, he goes, this guy is, he works in this precinct with us. He lives in La Habra. You get it, get him out of his house. There's nothing we can do. He's going to be dead by this weekend.
He's a cop, using cops.
He goes, he's got a lot of guns. So when I went in his house, the cops, who I still know, go, they said they looked at each other like, okay, when he kills Arnold, we're going to say it was a home invasion. And we're still buddies to this day.
It's like when you and I went to get...
But this guy was a maniac here, Bob. He seems fine now. He's a crazy person.
it was a fun time.
It's like when you and I went to get Tom... Tom
was nice enough. I felt bad. When I did that national anthem, she had just done hers. And you guys sent me roses and said, don't feel bad. You know what I mean? And my thing was, she was kind of trying to make fun of it. Roseanne. I was not trying to make fun of it.
That's the saddest part. You were sincere.
I smoked too much crack.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
That's really
I wish that she'd smoke crack. That would have been a better excuse. She grabbed too much crack. That was her thing.
Do you remember her version?
Oh, yeah.
It was funny, though. Yeah. I support
funny.
That.
She was trying to be funny. I just remember we went to get Sizemore. We looked at each other like...
Drew was walking up the driveway, and I've been around it so much, I was like, he's on meth and he's got guns. And Drew just went, oh, shit, yeah.
Not only that, he went into a band and started billowing, and we both backed out.
He was like moaning. When you got Tom Sizemore moaning in the bathroom.
How many things has Drew been in? And Drew's never been a maniac, and how many...
Because of him.
That's true.
Because I was walking down the side of the driveway. Like, you don't want to, and I'm looking in
the
window.
Walls.
You know what I mean? You got to be able to hit the ground if he mistakes us for an intruder.
Right.
You've been in that
position. I have been. But I'm thinking of Drew, who's a normal guy. How many times does he save people? Why do you let him do that? Why is he... Why his family? I mean, I get it with us because we're maniacs. Like, but why do you let him... You're a saint, Drew.
I always ask why he was
and
doing that.
Similar to you, Tom, I don't know if you know Sizemore. He's the funnest guy.
I do.
So we were on this balcony thing overlooking, and he was being really crazy. And Drew's kind of recognizing agitation, psychosis. And I'm just looking, if I need to jump off this balcony, am I going to live?
Because
if he comes out of here with crazy, right? I'm going over
of course.
What were you thinking on that balcony?
I was looking in because the kitchen was here. I realized I carefully checked that there were no knives.
Drew's cleaned out my house for my wife before, too. I have to go.
You got to just make sure you're safe. But that's what we do.
Right.
You know, we go out and help and try.
Right.
But the Peter Chris thing is always the best because it showed Tom right off the bat. His heart's in the right place. I wanted to help the guy.
That's true.
And then when I found out it wasn't Peter Chris, I was like, so what does it matter?
Yeah, but by the way, I remember seeing you sitting in my Bentley with the fake Peter Criss, and all of a sudden our ball—no offense to him because he was homeless—but all of our windows went down at the same time. We're on our way to take him to a meeting, and we were loving him, and then all of a sudden the car started smelling, and our windows went down. Had to air it out.
Guy's under the
no
under
offense.
The bridge.
He was under the bridge, man. He was under the bridge. A crack tent.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's fun stuff, but
no offense.
But we've lived a long time. Don't you think that?
Yeah.
I guess
we've lived a long time.
I know we have.
I gotta get some stuff. I gotta get back to some stuff. How are you and Schwarzenegger now? You guys,
we're
good.
We're good. And you know what? He had a procedure, and he's doing amazing.
The valve.
Yeah,
and they had to open him.
Yes,
he's had a previous, right?
Yes, he had back in I think 87, 88.
And that is just a congenital bicuspid valve.
Yeah. And he's amazing. He would always pretend he's perfect, but he's amazing. He's
One of my dreams is to be with you and him. Wait, listen to me. On one of his barbecue parties with the guys in the underwear and stuff.
Oh, yeah, just, well, that's that just that, you know.
To me, it just sounds surreal.
Well, he turned 70 last summer, there's a, you can see a video on the internet of me and him as Sly getting a, first of all, so we get invited to the party. It's like 6 to 9 on a Saturday. And Ashley's like, yeah, we're invited to the 6 to 9 part. And then from 9 to 4 in the morning is when the guys with the G-strings. But they have we got a hula dancing lesson. Me and Arnold the Slide. You can see it on the internet because somebody filmed it. And it's sort of sweet. But you know, there's always there was giant porcupines because he owns a circus. He took European circus right out of money, so he sponsors him if he can use their animals for his party.
So he brought an elephant in one.
Oh
time.
Yeah, the elephant destroyed his house, and he had one time he had a full on Bengal tiger on a rope that some dude was smoking a cigar, like not a tiger trainer. And I walked into his Christmas party, and I saw a tiger, so I pull up my phone because I'm like, oh my god, this tiger's gonna start killing these assholes. I'm gonna film this. Yeah. I'm gonna get the video.
Film it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you know, it's a tiger. They're all his Republican friends, so it's gonna be hilarious. And like, just totally inappropriate situations with wild animals. He didn't grow up on a farm, so I'm like, oh my god, that's amazing. But he is the sweetest guy in the world, and it's so funny.
One of my favorite stand-ups of yours was the one, sort of the All-American one. What was it called? The All-American. It was one with a lot of flags and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You bust his balls so completely in that one.
Oh, my God.
I wondered how he felt about that. Oh, it was like about 5 years ago, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. By the way, I have a new stand-up special, June 5th, coming out. Let's just say if I bust his balls and I've had to apologize, let's not cover any of that area. Let's not. You know what? I love him, and there's been times when I've got over the line and had to make amends, and he's accepted my apology.
Am I discussing one of those?
Yeah, perhaps you are. But I worship the guy, and you know, when my son was born, when Jax was born, he was the first person to visit Jax at the hospital, and he picked him up. He's like, you know, because men like baby. He's like, you know, he's like, you know, I have four of these, and he's like, well, you know, five. Anyway, but I swear to God, he's a funny dude. He's the best. You know,
so he's got a good political mind. What is?
Oh my God,
think,
he has a good political mind.
What does he think happens after this? Because I believe we've got seven more years of this. Not three more.
He is smart because he is genuinely doing something about the gerrymandering, which is how you end up in a situation like this, and the environment. I mean, he really.
But really, let's go back to the election. Did we really have a choice? That was a choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Well, you know, there was a choice.
Bernie Sanders was a choice.
You know, and a lot of things happened for Trump to be, you know. And there's still more to come.
My point is, more Americans don't vote than do vote.
Well, this is going to change. So, these midterms are very important. 2018, a lot of women are running that have never run before.
Right.
This Robert Mueller thing is real. And so is the Stormy Daniels thing. A lot of mistakes were made legally. And so is the state of New York. Eric Schneiderman is – you're going to see every one of those Trump family members indicted. And so – and also Donald Trump. So if he thinks he's sliding out in one way – the guy is, you know, if you think, well, Robert Mueller is political, there is a lot of stuff going on, and yet you don't.
I do find it strange that Democrats embrace the military state, let's call it the FBI and all this, and they're the defenders of law and order, and the Republicans are the ones questioning it all.
Well, here's
in
the thing.
In my lifetime,
it doesn't
from
matter.
McGovern to this.
Michael Che had a good joke last night on SNL. He goes, wait a minute, how many, it's taken 18 months? He goes, is there a different FBI for black people than white people?
Well, the FBI is a conservative, or they're way more Republican.
But you come from my kind of background. They're the ones that investigated John Lennon. They're the ones that investigated and all kinds of stuff that I didn't like and was gross and un-American to me. Now all of a sudden,
speaking of
those
gross,
people that fell asleep.
Jesus.
No, I'm sorry, but speaking of that, now all of a sudden the people that come up from that 70s mentality of question authority are now, don't question this authority, Robert Mueller.
So I'm going to go back.
Let me take that. Here's a little thing for you.
Yeah.
You know, Andy McCabe, that was the FBI agent.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know who his brother-in-law is? Jeff McFarland. And his sister, he's married to Jeff's sister, he could not be a more straight arrow, you know. And his sister is like they're the nicest people. The in-laws are from Iowa. They're the nice. If I would have said anything about the guy, I'd be a huge nerd. The nicest people in the world. Trump's like, oh my God, look at these bad people. The nicest straight arrows in the world, you know. And you know Jeff.
I know Jeff.
You know, and Trump's like, oh, look at these evil people. I mean, this is a guy who goes to work every day for 21 years and just one of those worker bees and his wife, genuinely the nicest people in the world. And Andy McCabe's mother-in-law is a Trump conspiracy person. I know it says so. You know,
the craziness is what it says about us, America. I know, anything, more than all of this. Yeah. It's us.
Over 2008. The midterms are big, and that'll solve everything.
You have a bunch of charities. I'll make sure I get them.
Right, Captain Corazon is great. Jimmy Kimmel. We had our biggest. You know, we just had a big gala.
He had a child with a transposition of the great vessel. So
One of our great pediatric cardiologists
saved his life.
So Jimmy stepped up. We sold three grilled cheese sandwiches for $120,000.
Nice.
By Jimmy. That's a wonderful camp, and we do that every year.
Camp awesome. Del Corazon. And you have a couple of charities too, didn't you? Tell me some other ones.
I do. Well, that's good. That's good. I do a million.
What is it?
Music Cares.
Music Cares. You know, they get their big
hosted,
with the...
You've hosted some of those, right?
I have Bob Forrest.
Did you do the auction, though?
I've done that, and I've hosted it, and, you know, they're big. They do a lot of stuff with the... what's the rehab I just got back? Crossroads. And by that, by the way, I highly recommend
but
that.
But here's the funny thing about Crossroads. Great, great rehab, old-fashioned, Eric Clapton, Hazelden, perfect, right? To get a drug addict from Los Angeles to Crossroads is a really hard thing.
Why? Yeah.
Because there's no direct flights there. You have to fly to Miami and wait overnight with a using drug addict.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I had to do a gig, too, on the way there. I had to do a gig for John Hancock and sit with the CEO of John Hancock. And my buddy, my lawyer, Dave Feldman, had to fly with me. We had to take, like, 9 flights. But it's fine because once – you know, I'm so grateful my guys, including Jeff McFarland, Dax, everybody came over, Tom Hansen, and they're like, dude, you got to probably go, I know, and I don't know what to do, but I can't get off of this stuff. And I love these guys. And so
Dax is the best. He doesn't get enough nods.
Yeah. For what?
Just being a great guy.
Just in general. He's just like the greatest guy.
Yeah.
That's all he gets nods for. Yeah. He's a great guy. He needs more nods for being an asshole. No, he's the greatest guy.
So where did
he's
you go? You went and did a gig, then you had to wait overnight in Miami and take like 20 benzos? How many did you take in Miami?
Oh, I did. I wasn't going to start detoxing. I'll tell you that right now.
I took what he needed.
I took what I needed. Yeah. But I also wasn't going to go crazy. Because benzos is not something, I don't want to say this because you probably could. You're like, it's not like blow where you're like, oh, I'm going to do a thought, you know.
Yeah.
So I also had a gig.
Yeah.
So in Aruba.
Where? No. Oh, in Aruba.
Yeah.
Oh, that's close.
So by the way, the detox for benzos.
Brutal.
Two weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brutal. Yeah, it's a weird
thing. The first year is sort of uncomfortable.
Yeah, and also something you warned me. You said, a lot of times with these people die, and Chris Cornell died when I was in there, and I talked about it on Howard. Like, that was... You know, a lot of people, they talk about dying from opiates, and Drew, you said to me, you know, actually, a lot of times there's benzos involved.
This is the big one right now. And that one still isn't being discussed publicly yet the way it should be.
I talked to Vicky, like, right away, and I kind of got the, you know, these are, you know, I know my situation, and, you know, I knew Chris, you know, for one of my original guys, and what a sweet guy, and what a... You know, good guy. What a guy that helped a lot of people. And, you know, here's a guy like me, medicating himself. You know, said,
but the doctor gave it to him, man. Yeah. I swear to God, it makes my peers give it to him all the time. Right. Makes me crazy.
Right.
Makes me insane.
But he's like me. Oh, I got this, and I'll do more. And you know, she talked to him, and he's like, oh, I got this, and he got nervous. He's like, oh my gosh, and he's alone. And I'll tell you that.
Here's an interesting thing. How long can a sober person have no real sober, you know, person in their life and stay sober? Because I know that Chris had a bunch of sober people. Then he drifted into, like, surrounded by people that drink and smoke weed. And I know some of the records that he made. Some of them are my best friends. They're not They're not people I can be with 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I can be around them and do something, but then I've got to go back to my sober people.
Right.
And
well, you got to have your... I do.
You drift into that...
Well, also when you get a different high. Like, my case, alcohol, cocaine, now I'm gonna, then it was opiates. No, I'm not getting ever, opiates are not my high, motorcycle wreck, Oh, okay. Well, that's my I'm done with that. Well, benzos. I don't get high for benzos. Oh, I'm doing benzos. So that's
they
different.
Make you feel really safe and warm,
right? But that all of a sudden it is your high.
Yeah, he's one of the guys that would think like, well, I'm a cocaine addict, not an opiate addict.
Exactly.
Well,
no,
got
you didn't believe that in your heart of hearts.
But I told myself that. Got it. So if I'm doing that, I'm not getting high, so I don't need to be around sober people because this is all my own thing, and all of a sudden I'm like,
it's something about that drift away from,
yes,
even if it's one person.
You're
I've
right.
I've always got a
oh, completely. You need to be with one.
I could not go to a meeting for 6 months. I've still got him in my life.
That's right.
Right, and somehow the people that have gone back to drugs, they just disconnect from everyone.
But they don't want to be reminded or confronted.
Right.
That's why
I think you think that you just don't need those people anymore. One of the things is my sober friends were my friends before I got sober. I think very few people have that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Meaning I grew up and used with these people, and then that we all got sober and now we have each other.
Right.
It's not like I went to rehab, I went to AA, and now I got these new sober friends.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I wish that people made more emphasis on the relationships we have with, especially men among men.
Right.
You know, because there's things that come up when you get in your 50s and kids and divorce.
And just because you're married to someone doesn't mean they get it. Just because they love you, they may, you know, or they're your brother or they're your sister or whatever, if they're your family, you know, they may love you unconditionally, but they may not get it.
Typically don't get it. In fact, though, your wife was very helpful for Vicky.
Yes.
That was very nice.
Yes.
She was very helpful to her.
Yes.
Because being the codependent, you can help other codependents.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Very codependent.
Your kids are good, right?
Yes, my kids are amazing.
Yeah, I see that.
I mean, that's why you can take, I can take any. Because you look at it, first of all, every question, every fear I've ever had, every day when I look at my daughter, Quinn's, she's two, loves me unconditionally. I can't complain. Like, my mistake of my life was trying to get a woman to love me unconditionally, a wife. That's just impossible. You have to hit all these markers. My daughter, no matter what I do, she loves me unconditionally. Like,
yeah,
it's perfect.
Well, I got news for you. Don't fuck it up.
I won't fuck it up. Listen, she's two. I'm 59. I mean, I don't know. You know, how many years do I have? You know, I'm just going to keep going.
I'm shooting for, 76, 78, you said?
Yeah.
I cleared up the hepatitis C. My liver's all right.
Yeah.
I'm going 76, 78.
Tom is one of my favorites.
Yeah. You might make it to 80.
Right. Well, but imagine what that looks like. But anyway, I won't even be, but I tell you what, I change every diaper right now. But my friends, when Jax was born, they're like, hey, let your wife do everything till he's 7.
What?
Then he'll be fun. I was like,
what?
I don't know where I'll be when he's 7. I got to get in
there. Where do you meet people like that?
You know, dudes.
Males.
Dumb guys.
Tom is one of my favorite cocaine stories. When you just first time you got sober, when you were in the bathroom talking to the mirrors and stuff.
Oh yeah. Tried to pull the skin off the outside of my eyeball.
Something up in there. Something up in there.
No, he's going to cut it.
Cut it. I was just going to cut it off instead of trying to pull. You know, going to cut because I was like, I'll just cut this off. The extra layer of skin on my eyeball. I actually had pulled it out. I was like, well, I'll just cut it off.
Yeah.
Said the guy, the FBI, and the other side.
Well, yeah,
of the
because I had a full on. No. I was like, all right, I see you assholes, full on. And now, okay, I'm on you guys. Listen, I know you that like I'd already had this running inner dialogue with them. I'm like, fuck it, okay, guys,
just
I know what you're
directly,
doing. Like,
talk directly to them.
I'm on to you, so just don't even.
What are you gonna bust me for?
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit of coke.
Yeah. Everybody's like, are you paranoid about this Trump stuff? And I'm like, fuck no, man. I know they're watching me.
I'm being paranoid. I don't know what that is.
What do they want?
Yeah. All right. I think we got to wrap it up, guys.
Yeah,
we can go
guys.
All day. We can just go.
I appreciate it. It's good to see you.
It's
good
to
see you guys.
See you.
I love you guys.
Great to
thank
see you.
You.
And it's hashtag. Now, what do you want people to do?
Vice, what is it?
Viceland.com.
It's hashtag TIPS. Send me a... If you get any tapes on Trump, just send them over.
And what is the hashtag? The hashtag is the hunt for the Trump tapes. What are we using the hashtag for? Just to
I don't know.
All get together.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, the hunt for the Trump tapes. Yeah, but
at Tom Arnold.
I don't know how it
at the Tom Arnold Instagram.
Yeah,
the Instagram of your kids and Facebook is fun.
Oh yeah, we have fun. You know, it's funny with I put up.
You know, I wondered why can't somebody get a copy of his tax records? I guarantee you, he is not a billionaire.
Oh, you're right. I wonder how that would happen.
Oh. Tom.
If you have a friend in the Nevada Gaming Commission, you know, a kid, 17-year-old hacker. Anyway, is that illegal? I don't know. What's going on here? What's happening?
I'm getting paranoid if you're not.
Yeah.
All right, so
thank you.
Good luck on the show.
Oh, now I gotta thank watch. You have the tax records. Yeah. Oh my God!
Just the first three pages. That's all. Anyway, is that a link? I don't know what's happening.
Tom Arnold,
thank you
buddy.
Guys.
I gotta.
Oh my God! I just feel better now.
Nah.
After a little bit of Tom Arnold in your life.
All
right, we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
I want to mention our friends at Bergamot Sport, a supplement that provides all the cardiovascular benefits of the original Bergamot, but with additional additives designed to aid athletes and those with active lifestyles. Bergamot Sport is recommended and used by professional and college athletes throughout the world, helps them improve stamina, reduce recovery time, and muscle inflammation. Bergamot Sport is informed sport certified, so athletes can feel confident that it's all natural and it has been banned substance tested. But even if you're not a pro athlete or just getting a workout once a week or so, Bergamot Sport is still worth a try. It can help you work out harder, recover easier, without worrying about being sore or tired the next day. I've used the products myself. I've recommended them to patients. We use them in our family. And I've done so just as physicians and cardiologists around the world have done. And Bergamot Plus is excellent for what's called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which has just passed all other forms of liver disease in terms of causing cirrhosis. So it's something that is a major health issue presently and needs to be paid attention to. For a limited time, our listeners can save 10% on their order by entering code DRDREW at checkout. That is DRDREW, all one word. Try Bergamot Sport for yourself. Visit bergamot.com, that is BERGAMET.com, or just click the Bergamot banner at drdrew.com.
Remember, you can find all these podcasts at drdrew.com. The Dr. Drew podcast, the This Life podcast, and the Adam and Drew podcast, which is available 5 days a week. Find them all on iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Subscribe and get it first. And if you're really happy, click on the Amazon banner at drdrew.com to help support the show. We'll thank you for it. If you join the email list via drdrew.com/contact, we'll send you a weekly infusion newsletter with Dr. Drew's news. We're so grateful when you get in touch. We read all your emails and we'll bring you the subject matter you want to hear about.
You live.